Good afternoon. This is Sound Out, and I'm Carol Finer. And the topic for today's Sound Out is the forthcoming performance of Nature Study Notes at Café Otto on Sunday, February 22nd at 8 p.m. And actually, that's in 2 days' time, which is not very far off. And I have got five members of the ensemble here to talk about our performance that we're going to do. And they are, I have got Ali Warner, Petri Hurinainen, Bryn Harris, Charles Hutchins, Christine Sancto, and of course myself. I will be performing too. And during the show, we might play a recording from a previous performance we did in June last year. And I think we're going to perform a live rite, one or two. And because I'm talking about these rites, I'd better briefly explain that Nature Study Notes is a collection of 152 written instructions or scores that was published as a booklet by Cornelius Cardew in the early days of the Scratch Orchestra in 1969. And it was written by, all of the rites were written by Scratch Orchestra members, and they were used as starting points for group improvisation during our meetings and in some of our Scratch Orchestra concerts, and they were referred to as rites. The ensemble performing on Sunday will consist of a mix of original Scratch members and a number of younger enthusiasts who are interested in the Scratch Orchestra and experimental music in general. Probably about 15 performers. We never quite know. It's a bit like in the Scratch Orchestra days, which you'd have 100 members on your list and about 25 would turn up, maybe, or not. And I think we know we'll have at least 10 people on Sunday, but maybe more. And I'm not going to list all the performers. If anyone is interested in seeing more details, go on the Café Otto website and you'll find out more details. And now, I've talked about what these rites were for, starting points for group improvisation, and I think we'll read out a few examples of rites. Now, Christian is going to read out a rite for us.
MCICR60. Throughout the rite, sway from side to side.
Yes, that's nice. I'm beginning to sway. I like that. Petri, you've got a rite you're going to read out.
Yep. HSIRNF28. Do something, undo it, do it again, but louder. Undo it again. Do it while undoing it. Undo it while doing it.
Yes, great. Ali, you have a rite you've chosen.
MSIR97. Walk in single file through deep, freshly fallen snow. Do not speak between trees.
Do you know, they are nice. They're like poetry. I wonder, we're going to perform a rite later on. But some of these rites are not really suitable for the radio. So we're going to have to pick a rite that has noise in it. Because some of these, and in the early Scratch Orchestra days, we had artists and performers and dancers and professional musicians and amateur musicians. And not everybody did a musical thing. A lot of people performed, and I'm wondering, because all these young enthusiasts, as we call them, they may or may not think of themselves as musicians. I'm not really sure. So I'm going to go around the group, and I have to say that we're not recording this in Resonance's own studio. This is being recorded in my kitchen, and I'm going around from the left, and I've got Charles here. Would you like to say why you're liking to be involved with this throwback in time or throwback into the future? I don't know.
Maybe it's more of a throwback into the future. I feel like a lot of music that my contemporaries are writing, I think largely because of computers, is very, very scripted. Like, they know exactly what it's going to sound like. They listen to sort of live realizations as they go. And I feel like freedom is an element that needs to be more present in a lot of music that's coming out now. And so I see this as an opportunity to be free. And I do consider myself a musician, and I mostly do musical things when I'm doing this kind of work. But I like having the option of doing something that's completely out. Like, one of the rites has take off your clothes, and well, I'm probably, sadly for the audience, going to stay clothed during the entire performance. I like that something that wild is part of a performance. I think that's lovely.
Yeah. Good. No, that's very good. And all right, so Christian, you didn't perform this last year, did you? But you came and listened or watched. So tell us what makes you want to do this on Sunday.
To me, what's most interesting about this corpus of work is that it's something which is simultaneously closed and open, like rites can still be written. And the ones that are already part of the corpus can be interpreted and reinterpreted in many, many ways. And that kind of status of the corpus is a kind of secret, I think, between the performers. And I like that there's a kind of a secret that we all share, which can be opened at any time. And especially with the fact that almost all of the rites are text and are open to this freedom of interpretation, it's never quite clear what is secretive and what's being explained or expressed.
Oh, yes, yes. Which actually should be very interesting for an audience, not just for performers, where there is this thing, this unexpected, mysterious, secret
exactly.
thing. But I would hope that the audience also gets the feel of some of this as well. Okay, now who have we got next? Petri.
Well, I saw Scratch Orchestra last summer in Chisendale, and I wasn't really sure what I was looking, because I didn't know very much about the Scratch Orchestra beforehand. But because I do come back from, my background is from improvised music, and you know, it has obviously that musical element, but it was also kind of something which I find very interesting is kind of the collective kind of improvisation. It's kind of individual, but at the same time it's kind of unified, but then it kind of goes back and forth. It's a bit like watching a live Bruegel painting or something, which doesn't necessarily have a focal point, but lots of things going on at the same time. And it was very, very, you know, interesting. And and now that I'm going to be involved, I think it's also, for me, it's I'm really kind of stretching, kind of pushing my own envelopes here, because I'm usually playing guitar and kind of quite, you know, kind of music still orientated, even if it's improvised. But this is kind of going beyond that. So for me as a personally, this is a very, it's an interesting challenge. And
good, that's good. And now round to Ali.
I think I'm particularly attracted by the idea, not just the idea, but the actual practice of ritual. You know, the fact that there's an opportunity to practice ritual with others in a modern everyday setting, in a way that is, it's just an, it's a sort of an open invitation. We're a collective. I feel lucky to have the chance to do it. It doesn't really have, it's not specifically spiritual or anything. And that's such a kind of, that is such a freedom.
Yes.
You know, that yeah, I like to work with my voice, but the territory is even broader than that. I'm just, it's a ritual to be a human being.
Yes.
And whatever comes up. And I, what I actually found in my experience of it was also that, I think in some ways, I think of ritual as being quite defined. Like, even these rites, as cryptic as they sometimes seem to me, there is some instruction there that the writer is given, the writer of the rite. And yet my experience was that as I tried to follow some quite specific instructions, which would seem quite, you know, formal in a sense, it was the springboard for stuff happening.
Yeah.
So in the end, things happened to me that sort of changed me, or things I hadn't expected or predicted happened as a result of starting with these rites, and that's magic.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I get that same feeling myself. I'm coming now to one of myself and Bryn Harris here. Bryn was an original Scratch Orchestra member. So Bryn, I don't like to turn around because I'm going to get out of the way of the microphone, but you're going to tell me why you like to be performing in this performance.
Well, I have to admit that there is an aspect of nostalgia to it.
Yes, I know, there is for
however,
me too.
However, it's not just nostalgia. These, I think the improvisation rites are a really valuable tool in developing people's ability to improvise. Cornelius Cardew was the initiator, as far as I know, of the concept of the improvisation rite. And he also wrote in his, it became published in the Treatise Handbook, a long paper or text called Towards an Ethics of Improvisation. Emphasises improvising, just how important improvisation was to him and to us in the Scratch Orchestra. And it's reinvigorating, really, to return to these nature study notes and also to create new rites, because this is a living corpus. It's not just something that was dug out from history.
Yes.
And it's good to see it with a new life going forward.
I should mention that to the listeners that it's, I think, about 10 or 11 new rites have been written, because the ensemble individuals within it have wanted to write new rites. So I think that's a very inspirational thing as well, that new ones are coming out. We're going to have to republish this with the new ones. Bryn, you also, while I've got you here, I was just going to come back to you. I'm going to just say my piece. This has got just such a thrill for me to meet up with some old Scratch people and to play again and to have all these new young people, especially with their new rites, and the whole excitement of performing these rites, which I have quite often improvised with other people, which I think improvising is very hard to do. But if you have an improvisation right, it sort of leads you, it guides you, it gives you a starting point from which to go, which was the whole point of it. And so I find it much easier, rather than just freewheeling improvising, to have a right in my head to perform. And Bryn, I'm coming back to you on this, because you would like to read out something Cornelius Cardew wrote about improvisation rites from the Scratch Orchestra draft constitution.
It refers specifically to nature study notes, which is the collection we have and we're performing from. But the definition that he gives is, an improvisation rite is not a musical composition. It does not attempt to influence the music that will be played. At most, it may establish a community of feeling or a communal starting point through ritual.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly the point of it. And why, for me, it makes it so much easier than just sitting down and improvising from nowhere. So that's very good. I think we want to perform a rite. We've done a lot of talking, but I think Christian wanted to say something about some of these rites are not suitable, or did we already say that? Did we read out any unsuitable rites? We did. Okay, so we've now chosen a rite which we're going to perform, and who was going to read that one out to us? Bryn was going to read it out, and this is written by someone called Alan Brett. Initials that come at the beginning of all these rites are very long-winded. This is something to do with Cornelius's kind of filing system. So this is A B C O I R 112. So I just simply would call it rite number 112. Are you going to read it out?
Yeah.
And then we'll perform it.
Yeah. The IR in it obviously is improvisation rite in that section.
Oh, that explains
the,
that.
What the CO is, I've no idea. The AB for Alan Brett, then the CO, I don't know. Anyway, The important thing is, of course, to play anything. But do not to attempt to play any melody, and then not necessarily. After a certain amount of time, try to tune in to someone else's improvisation. As soon as you suspect that someone is tuning into your improvisation, try to shake them off.
That's great. We're going to do that.
So far away from people.
Could you tune in with us?
So far away from the lovely girl.
It's funny having to keep sort of tuning in and then stopping and then.
Yeah. And trying to tune in while you're playing as well.
And also without just imitating, it's the easiest.
It's very hard to concentrate on what you're supposed to be doing in the rite. Yeah. You kind of lose yourself.
Well, that's maybe okay, but yeah.
Which is okay because it's meant to be a rite to set you off improvising, so I suppose it's okay.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to keep it in your head, and it sort of goes out of mind.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for that. I really enjoyed that. It's really lovely to get to play with people. And I just find it's so much easier to have a rite that you've got to kind of follow, a kind of ritual, than just playing, improvising willy-nilly. So I really enjoyed that. And now I think we're going to talk about the performance on Sunday and about the space. I think a lot of Resonance 104.4 FM listeners will definitely know Café Otto and will know it and love it because so much amazing modern music goes on there. But it's a very different space from that which we were in June last year, which was a huge dance hall, a Chisenhale dance space, just a huge, wonderful space with wooden floors and an audience nicely put at one end where they didn't have to get in the way of anything. So, and I know that of the people here, two were in the audience, I think, and saw it from a whole different angle. But I'm a little bit concerned. Café Otto, tables, chairs, everything in a smaller space, and how we're going to operate in that space. Has anyone else got any concerns about the space?
Well, I actually find it quite an exciting proposition to perform in that sort of area, because you have to adapt to suit the environment.
You do, yes.
Whereas before, it was like we were all set out over this large dance floor area, and we had our own little territories and so on.
Total freedom to move wherever we wanted.
Whereas here, the audience is going to be in command of who goes where to a large extent, also that not all the sound is going to come from the performers. Some of it's going to come from the audience with their drinks and
There will be a little general clicking of glasses and ordering stuff at the bar. You're right. So I don't know. The two performers, the two people here today, two of my guests, I've got Christian, and you were at Chisenhale. And have you been to Café Otto to have a look at the space there?
Yes, I have been there. Occasionally I even work there, so I know the space pretty well. And actually I've been to several performances there, and I've not really seen any that come to mind which really diverged from the basic stage and audience kind of dichotomy that there is.
Yes.
And I think that's something which is almost called for by some of these rites. Some of them explicitly refer to space.
Yeah.
Things like finding a space, work within a space, explore a space, get to know a space. And I think when you have so many options for applying those principles to a place like Café Otto, I think it can really lead the rite into unexpected territory.
All completely new, a whole different ball game, which would be very interesting. Am I right Petri, that you were at Chisenhale?
Yes, I was there.
What did you, I mean, it was such a lovely space, we could be free.
Yeah.
And going to Café Otto, we're a bit... It will be very exciting because it will be very different, won't it?
Yeah, I think from the audience point of view in Chisenhale, it was very easy because you just sit and relax and sit back and watch.
Yeah.
So I think for the audience, I think this Café Otto can be a bit more challenging also because they need to kind of because they really need to kind of think, okay, if they're going to be in one spot, they're probably going to not see or hear, you know, else in the other end of the room. So they have to kind of make some decisions also, how they're going to react. So I think it's going to be quite interesting. Going to be much more interactive.
It will be more interactive, and I think that's a very good thing.
Absolutely.
It's slightly daunting, but very good thing.
It was a bit like that when we did songbooks.
Songbooks.
Because, again, we were all around the place.
Yeah.
well, at least I was actually an audience member on that occasion. Well, the performers were moving around the area.
Yes, we were, but we had our own little base.
Oh, yes.
Which was like your home you could go to. When you finished wandering, you go back to your own table and, you know, your safe haven. So I'm not sure if we'll have that on Sunday, if anything will be safe or not. Ali, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess I was reflecting on this myself, just something I've realised over the last year, which is how much the physical environment completely transforms how I'm being in that space.
Yes.
And I had this on a project recently where I was to be a singer in a composed piece. And we rehearsed in a studio, and there was some electronic music that accompanied the live singing. So we were in a studio that could have amplified music. But that studio was actually, my experience was, it was dark and it was cold.
Yeah.
And I just, my whole kind of body and my feelings kind of contracting.
Yeah.
And that will be reflected in what happens with how I'm being and being with my voice. So,
yeah
I just think a space affects, every space will, it will create a whole different performance.
It'll be very exciting. Do you have anything, Charles, to say about this?
Well, I'm always excited to try new things. So, since I play tuba, I mean, a voice is very much a part of you, or an instrument, although something like a tuba is sort of an extension of the body. It's not part of the body. So, my concern would only be trying to move around through a possibly quite full space. I could end up being stuck in one place, whether
or
not I wanted to.
Tuba is huge.
Well, it's normal tuba sized, but...
tubas are big. You'll have to squeeze round people.
Or, you know, the thing is if you're coming at a person with a large piece of metal, they do tend to get out of the way if they can, so...
Yeah, so that's a good thing. So, Bryn, you didn't perform at Chisney Hill, did you? Yes, you did.
Yes,
of course
I was tucked away in the back with my...
Yeah, it was at the songbooks you didn't perform, yeah.
That's right.
So how do you feel about Café Otto?
Well, I think it's... the points are made, most points have already been made, but one thing I was going to say, if not giving away too many trade secrets, one of the ideas for Sunday is that the illumination of the performance area is going to be like these pillars of light.
Yes, yes.
And that, when that was suggested, it took me way back to a trip a few of us in the Scratch Orchestra made in Cornelius Cardew's Volkswagen. He had a Volkswagen camper.
He had a camper van,
And we, or minibus more like.
Yeah.
And we borrowed that and we went down briefly into Italy after staying in Bavaria. And on the way back up through France, we got a bit tired and we stopped off just to have a break. And we noticed a path going down some woodland and we thought, oh, well, let's go and have a stroll down. And at the bottom, we found a lock and a canal with a canal tunnel. We thought, oh, well, let's investigate a bit further. So we started walking up the towpath inside the tunnel, which was pitch black.
Yeah.
And every now and then there'd be this pillar of light coming down from the where the vents were for the air
something. Yeah.
And it was really quite eerie that suddenly you'd come across this pillar of light coming down into the water. And that's all you could see. Everything else was pitch black.
Mm.
And then suddenly we heard this sort of rumbling in the distance, slowly coming towards us. And then fluorescent lights came on all around the place.
Uh-huh.
And it was a literally a train of barges being pulled through on a cable through the tunnel. But the thing that struck me was this pillar of light, and
how magic.
Yeah.
What a magic time.
But I'm hoping that magic time will be on Sunday as well.
As you say, without giving away any secrets, we're hoping for a darkened Café Otto with these pillars of light from some of the tables going up to the ceiling, which I can't envisage, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing. So I think that's very good. So we're all hoping for something very exciting on Sunday, Café Otto. Now, there was a guest who was supposed to come today who's another person from the ensemble, and he is Matt. And Matt has sent me a recording, and I thought, well, we'd listen to that. I can't remember what the right number is, but he announces the rite that he's performed, and it's one that he's done on his own at home. So we're going to have a little listen to Matt now doing his rite, which you will hear. He will tell you what it is.
Hi, I'm going to perform Nature Study Notes Improvisation Rite, CHGR91. And the text of that rite is, follow the movement of a needle on a playing gramophone, real or imaginary.
Oh, that was our member of the ensemble, Matt Scott, and he was performing Improvisation Right number 91, sorry. And we've faded him out because we don't want to run out of time. And before we do run out of time, I want to say a big thank you to Stefan Zelken, who is an original Scratch Orchestra member, and whose idea this concert was. And first of all, with Stefan, he got us all together, at least half or more of the present ensemble, he got us all together to do the John Cage songbooks, which we performed twice and which we were all very excited about. And that was the first time that the Scratch Orchestra people had got together with all these new young enthusiasts. And he's continued with this good work by getting us organised to do the nature study notes. So I think everyone here will be very pleased to say thank you to Stefan.
Absolutely.
Now, I think I want to say that I've been very happy to have everybody in my kitchen. I want to thank everybody. Bryn and Christian here is doing the, I hope, as professional as Resonance's own studio, a professional recording here. And I want to thank Ali for coming all the way, and Petri, and Christian, and Charles. There, I got all those names right. I'm so bad at names. Anyway, I want to thank everybody. What we're going to do in a little while is play out with 4 or 5 minutes of the June performance that we did at Chisholm Hill, just as you can hear how that was, but I'm pretty sure that the event on Sunday is going to sound completely different and will be very exciting. Don't forget, we're performing the Scratch Orchestra Nature Study Notes at Cafe Otto this coming Sunday night at 8 p.m. If you want to come along, and if you're lucky enough to get tickets, we look forward to seeing you there. So I think that's just about all. I want to thank you listeners at home for listening to Sound Out. And here's 4 or 5 minutes from our June performance.
Thank you.